according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Even though we have no children here today, I want to read you a story. It is called The Seven Blind Mice. Do any of you know this story? All right. This is a story by Ed Young. Of course, we begin with just a little red mark. Seven blind mice. One day, seven blind mice were surprised to find a strange something by their pond. What is it? They cried. And they all ran home. You just see their little tails of different colors. On Monday, Red Mouse went first to find out. It's a pillar, he said. No one believed him. On Tuesday, Green Mouse set out. He was the second to go. It's a snake, he said. No, said Yellow Mouse on Wednesday. It's a spear. He was the third in turn. The fourth was Purple Mouse. He went on Thursday. It's a great cliff, he said. Mouse went on Friday, the fifth to go. It's a fan, he cried. I felt it move. The sixth to go was Blue Mouse. He went on Saturday and said, oh, it's nothing but a rope. Do you know what it is? But the others didn't agree. They began to argue. A snake, a rope, a fan, a cliff. Until on Sunday, White Mouse, the seventh mouse, went to the pond. When she came upon the something, she ran up one side, and she ran down the other side. She ran across the top, and from end to end. Oops. Ah, said White Mouse, now I see
The something is as sturdy as a pillar, supple as a snake, wide as a cliff, sharp as a spear, breezy as a fan, stringy as a rope. But altogether, the something is what?
An elephant.
And when the other mice ran up one side and down the other across the something from end to end, they agreed. Now they saw two. The mouse moral. Knowing a part may make a fine tale, but wisdom comes from seeing the whole.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus said, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Oh, well, yes, Jesus, we did expect you to bring peace. Do we not hail you as the Prince of Peace? At your birth, the angel heralded, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And did you not pray before your betrayal and arrest that all would be one? Look at those beautiful words in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me." And now you speak of division, and the worst kind of division at that, division within families. Fathers against sons, and sons against fathers, mothers against daughters, and daughters against mothers, mothers-in-law against daughters-in-law, and daughters-in-law against mothers-in-law. Generational divisions, broken homes, broken hearts. You speak of coming to bring fire to the earth and the distress you experienced as you awaited your crucifixion. That peace promised at your birth becomes a threat of division if people reject you as Messiah. Family members will divide on the issue of whether or not you are the long-awaited, long-promised Messiah. They will divide on whether to do things the way they've always been done, or to follow this one who calls himself the way and the truth and the life. You are all probably familiar with a prayer usually referred to as the Serenity Prayer. You heard of that? It was written by American theologian Reinhold Niebuhr and is commonly quoted as, "God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference." Niebuhr's prayer originally asked for courage first, and specifically for changing things that must be changed, not things that simply can be changed. "Father, give us courage to change what must be altered, serenity to accept what cannot be helped, and the insight to know the one from the other." The prayer spread rapidly, often without attribution to Niebuhr, through church groups in the 1930s and 1940s, and was adopted and popularized by Alcoholics Anonymous and other 12-step programs. The prayer has appeared in many versions, and here is one of them. "God, give me the grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen." Think about that prayer in the context of our gospel reading. seeing the divisions that existed at the time of Christ and that he knew would be coming as people debated about whether the Messiah had come or they needed to look for another. When we look at the history of the church, we see divisions as believers attempted to find ways to live out their faith. We see the church splinter into East and West as people tried to find the courage to change things that they could change. We see the church fragment into the multitude of denominations that we have today. We see a great need for wisdom in determining what can be changed, what should be changed, and how it should be changed. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. That may be an easy thing to say, but it is not an easy thing to do. Surrendering to God's will, knowing that God will make all things right. Can we pray those words with confidence? Can we faithfully endure the challenges that face us as followers of Christ? 25 years ago, four denominations decided to enter into a formula of agreement. These churches of Reformation heritage felt the increasing urgency for the church to proclaim a gospel of unity in contemporary society. The discussion began in 1962. 3 decades later, in 1992, a report was issued entitled A Common Calling, The Witness of Our Reformation Churches in North America Today, which stated that there were no church-dividing differences among these three churches, and unanimously recommended that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Reformed Church in America, and the United Church of Christ declare that they are in full communion with one another. This recommendation also requires that they recognize each other as churches in which the gospel is rightly preached and the sacraments rightly administered according to the Word of God, that they withdraw any historic condemnation by one side or the other as inappropriate for the faith and life of our churches today, that they continue to recognize each other's baptism and authorize and encourage the sharing of the Lord's Supper among their members, that they recognize each other's various ministries and make provision for the orderly exchange of ordained ministers of word and sacrament, that they establish appropriate channels of consultation and decision-making within the existing structures of the churches, that they commit themselves to an ongoing process of theological dialogue in order to clarify further the common understanding of the faith and foster its common expression in evangelism, witness, and service, that they pledge themselves to living together under the gospel in such a way that the principle of mutual affirmation and admonition becomes the basis of a trusting relationship in which respect and love for the other will have a chance to grow. These recommendations led to the production of several documents intended for study in the churches. Through all this time of study, conversation, and prayer, it was acknowledged that each of the churches grounds its life in authentic New Testament traditions of Christ, that the core traditions of these churches belong together within the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and that the historic give and take among these churches has resulted in fundamental mutual criticisms that need to be understood as diverse witnesses to the one gospel we confess in common. The working principle of mutual affirmation and admonition insists that while remaining differences must be acknowledged, it is the inherent unity in Christ that is determinative, and therefore the remaining differences are not church dividing. The vote on the Declaration of Full Communion took place at the respective churchwide assemblies in 1997. What is full communion? It is a way for denominations to affirm each other as members of the same baptized body of Christ, allowing churches to recognize each other's sacraments, affirm their various ministries, and it allows for the recognition of the ordination of ministers, which has led to the sharing of clergy between denominations. It is what allows me to serve as pastor of both St. Luke's Lutheran and Union Congregational. During the 20th anniversary of the Formula of Agreement, the participant churches declared again the purpose and intent of the agreement, recognizing and affirming both word and sacrament, but also remembering the need for repentance and reconciliation. And last week, during the 2022 ELCA Churchwide Assembly, representatives of the other three churches presented readings to the Assembly, including Mark Pettis, Ecumenical and Interfaith Relationship Manager for the United Church of Christ. Leadership from each denomination produced a joint video that was shown during the 225th General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA and was also presented during the 2022 ELCA Churchwide Assembly. The formula of agreement does not mean that the churches are in total agreement with each other. Far from it. They differ on issues of human sexuality, on the way in which Christ is present in Holy Communion, and on questions of predestination. However, the churches have determined that any such issues are not church-dividing, that our commonalities outweigh our differences and allow us to be full communion partners. A year ago, I preached at St. Luke's and Union Congregational for the first time. The call committee, various people on the staffs of the Pacifica and Rocky Mountain Synods, and I had engaged in considerable prayer and discernment leading up to that day, which is the day that the members of both churches voted unanimously to call me as their shared pastor. The decision by the churches to share a pastor is not one that was made lightly, I know. For while these churches have quite a bit in common, they also have many dissimilarities. Both churches have expressed their desire to remain independent, but to do some things in common. Just as in the formula of agreement, there must be an acknowledgement that while there are different traditions and different understandings of various points of doctrine, each church is a place where the gospel is rightly preached and the sacraments rightly administered according to the word of God, that we recognize each other's various ministries and share in them as appropriate, that we foster the common understanding of the faith and foster its common expression in evangelism, witness, and service, and that we pledge to live together under the gospel in such a way that our respect and love for each other will continue to grow. As we do so, let us hold in our hearts the full prayer for serenity, courage, and wisdom. God, give me grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. God grant us that peace that the world cannot give, the peace that can be brought only by the Prince of Peace, the one we acknowledge as Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ our Lord. Give us the courage to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, enduring to the end, trusting in you and surrendering to your will. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, Lead On, O King Eternal. It is number